All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by none other than Bill Rossetti, the host of the Locked On Panthers podcast. We're going to be talking quite a bit about this Panthers offseason and the upcoming 2018 season.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Bill, welcome back to the show. I don't think you had you on Locked On Falcons since December, but I've talked to you on other podcast I do called Falcons Central Radio. So I will say welcome back to this episode, but it hasn't been that long since I last spoke to you on another podcast. So welcome back to the show, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, we had a good time the last couple times here on Locked On. And yeah, we're on the other pod, had a fun time with that. So, you know, always good to talk with you, man.
All right, man. So I wanted to do these NFC South sort of off-season reviews just because, you know, as you know, when we get so focused on one specific team on this podcast, we sort of forget that there are 31 other teams, and particularly, you know, three other teams in our division that, you know, we play every year that we know or should know better than any other team. And so this is part of that process, at least from my perspective, to try to catch up to where the Panthers are. And we're going to do this, at least on this podcast, for the other teams in the NFC South, but we'll kick things off, I guess, alphabetically with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so, like, to me, the interesting thing about the Panthers, you know, they're coming off a playoff loss to the Saints last year. They made wholesale changes to their offense by hiring Norv Turner. And, you know, I think one of the issues that the question marks going into last season under Mike Shula was sort of to try to make their offense a more efficient offense with, you know, with the additions of guys like McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel and being more of a dink dunk offense to sort of expose Cam to less hits, maybe get him be a little bit more effective and efficient. It didn't seem like that really worked out too well. And then with the hiring of Norv Turner, who doesn't really play that type of offense, he's much more of the sort of classic, we're going to, you know, do these 5 and 7 step drops and we're going to chuck it deep type of play calling. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that? Like, obviously Cam has been much more effective with that more vertical oriented offense throughout his career. And I'm curious sort of what does this mean to what the changes the Carolina has gone through offensively, where it seems like they're going through a little bit of an identity crisis?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how much the offense is going to expand. You know, definitely you're going to see a lot more vertical passing. You know, I think you're going to see a lot more Devin Funchess kind of really being able to use his body a bit more, you know, kind of maybe kind of get him more into what he was like in Michigan, just giving Cam kind of that big target outside, let him just go up and kind of high point the ball and just use his body to his advantage. And then you bring in DJ Moore, who's just going to be one of those guys that I think in this kind of offense where it's just going to be kind of all over the field, DJ Moore really is a guy that can get you a whole lot of production, whether it's on the deep pass or across the middle of the field wherever it may be. So yeah, it's going to be it feels like it's going to be a lot more explosive than it was in the past few years. You know, it's not going to be as predictable as a lot of Panthers fans kind of made Mike Shula's offense turn out to be. You know, it really was, you know, it seemed like you could just go in each week and just figure, okay, the game plan is going to be pound the ball with Jonathan Stewart, sprinkle in Christian McCaffrey, and then Greg Olsen in the middle, and then just hope one of the receivers comes through. Now it's gonna feel a little more spread out. You know, you're gonna have your main weapons, but I think you're also, like I said, gonna see more than just the top two receivers. You know, expect to see a little more Damir Bird, and a couple other. You know, they brought in Jairus Wright in free agency, and even Curtis Samuel, last year's second round pick, who's still trying to kind of find his way after missing last season with an injury. So I think there's definitely a feeling of excitement here, at least in my opinion, where, you know, it's the you know, North Turner obviously brings kind of an old school style. You know, he hasn't been coaching in a while, but he comes in with kind of the, you know, not necessarily a new school style, but a style in Cam Newton that he hasn't really been used to coaching over his career. So that combination, you know, how those two kind of interact with each other and how Norv is able to integrate Cam into his offense or how he's able to adapt to what Cam Newton does, I think is really going to be kind of the catalyst for how explosive this offense could potentially be.
Yeah, we saw the Panthers' offense be very explosive in the year that they went to the Super Bowl. They sort of fall off, and it seems like with the additions of guys like Moore, you hope that McCaffrey, if you're a Panthers fan, you hope that McCaffrey is going to be a little bit more of a chess piece in a matchup, you know, mismatch offensively. It seemed like it was pretty predictable with sort of how they and when they used McCaffrey last year, and you wonder if Turner is going to be able to find a way to sort of make him feel a lot more like what we saw last year with Alvin Kamara in New Orleans and we saw the previous year with Tevin Coleman in Atlanta as this sort of asset out of the backfield. But I do think you're right with the Panthers. You know, how good this offense is will probably determine whether this team, I think, is a playoff team. We know the defense is pretty stable. We know what they bring to the table pretty much every year for the most part. And I don't think there's a whole lot of reason to think there's going to be any dramatic shift up or down for that unit this season based off of what they did last year. But I think it really – a lot of hopes are pinned on the offense. And with that being said, what are your thoughts on sort of the losses to the offensive line and sort of what has been a problem area really since that Super Bowl where they sort of overachieved arguably in that 2015 season – on their way to the Super Bowl and sort of came back down to earth the following year. You lost your best offense, arguably your best offensive lineman, Andrew Norwell at left guard. You know, Ryan Khalil's basically said that this year is going to be his last year. You have Darrell Williams, you have Trey Turner, seemingly the right side of your offensive line is pretty solidified, but you have big question mark with Matt Khalil at left tackle. Where is Taylor Moton going to be in the mix? Is he going to be at left guard? Is he going to be the swing tackle? What are your thoughts on some of the question marks along the offensive line? And does it inspire you the amount of confidence that you think you need in order to feel good about the potential positives that Turner and this Panthers offense can do this year?
Yeah, you definitely have to be concerned about the left side of the offensive line. You know, like you said, Andrew Norwell, arguably the best lineman last year for the team, now in Jacksonville, and they didn't do a whole lot to address it in free agency. You know, they brought in Jonathan Searles in free agency. They signed a couple of rookie free agents after the draft. But I think that's more because they want to see, you know, Ron Rivera in a way is promoting from within. You know, it's, and it really feels like there's going to be a lot of competition for that left guard spot. You know, I've been mentioning it's between like Amini Sealotolo and Taylor Moton. But after OTAs and after minicamp, Ron Rivera listed a handful of players, about 5-6 guys that could all be in contention for the left guard. So seemingly all the guys except for, you know, the rookies and a handful of others are really in the mix for that left guard. You know, Sealotolo, Moton, Searles, Tyler Larson's going to be in the mix. Greg Van Rotten is going to be in the mix. So you're going to see a lot of mixing and matching, I think, here. And, you know, in a way that could help the team, because if all those guys are competing, you have to hope that someone's going to step up from all this competition and kind of help plug in that hole, as it were. But like you said, Matt Khalil, question marks there. You know, he's been struggling the last couple of years. yeah, he can go ahead and blame his foot injury on his struggles last season, but he's also had kind of the same problems seemingly every year since his rookie year. Ryan Clay, of course, coming off that neck injury. You know, he looks like he's doing well, though. He looks pretty healthy from what I've heard, so that's good to see him, you know, back in action, solidifying the center. You know, Trey Turner's obviously locked in a guard. But then you got Darrell Williams at right tackle. Now, Williams, of course, excellent season last year. I think he was actually the third best, or rated the third best tackle by Pro Football Focus. But now there's a bit of contract issue between the team and Darrell Williams. You know, we thought that they were going to come to some kind of contract agreement before training camp. Now it sounds like they're pretty far apart, and possibly there's not going to be an agreement. So, you know, if that's a little worrisome, because now you've got a solid right tackle that could potentially be hitting the open market if the Panthers don't do something soon. You know, yeah, you have a lot of depth, but who's going to be, you know, if, say, Taylor Moten takes the left guard spot, do you put him back at right tackle if, say, something happens to Williams, or if you don't re-sign him? Do you put Moten there and put Ciotola at left guard and have Clausell as your backup? You know, there's some questions, you know, after the starting five. But for right now, you know, your right side is solidified, but the left side very much up in the air. I still feel like Ciotola is probably the favorite, and I think he's probably going to be the first one out of the gate when they begin training camp. But Moten definitely has a lot of potential, and I think can easily steal that job away from Ciotola.
We're going to have more of Bill's thoughts on the Panthers offseason in just a bit. But first, I want to plug LockedOnSports.com, the one-stop hub of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find content related to the NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball sides of the Locked On Podcast Network. Again, that's LockedOnSports.com, your team every day. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on sort of the addition of CJ Anderson? Do you feel like he can do for you what Jonathan Stewart has done in recent years and do a potentially better job of sort of being more of that workhorse running back that, you know, McCaffrey may or may not be at this point in his career?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought that was one of the more underrated signings for the Panthers this offseason. You know, he's coming off playing all 16 games last season, rushed for over 1,000 yards. We saw he's had potential. You know, you go back to 2014 where he had kind of that breakout season where he rushed for over 800 yards and 8 touchdowns in 15 games. Then he kind of tailed off a little bit, and then 2016 kind of was a disappointment. But he bounced back in 2017. There just really wasn't room for him in that Denver backfield. You know, they wanted to get younger, as it were. You know, they have Devontae Booker, who I think they're pretty high on, and then they drafted Royce Freeman out of Oregon. But he definitely can be kind of what Jonathan Stewart was over the last couple of years for this Panthers team, you know, kind of coming in and more than just spell McCaffrey, you know, and he could probably be kind of that short yardage back, you know, get you the tough yards, maybe even be the goal line back, you know, as long as it's not Cam Newton, of course. He's kind of the de facto goal line back.
Mm-hmm.
But CJ Anderson can kind of be in that position as well. So, you know, can McCaffrey handle the big load? He probably could. You know, Rivera's come out and tried to defend that fact and talk about what kind of runner McCaffrey was when he was at Stanford. But is he built to take that kind of beat in the NFL? You know, that could, you know, maybe that's one of the kind of lesser reasons why they went out and signed CJ Anderson, and pretty cheap too. I don't think they're really giving him a whole lot of money But, you know, so it's definitely going to look like a value contract. I think, like I said, he's someone that can really take some carries from McCaffrey, give him a break here and there. And I think you're going to, you know, I guess we'll put a little fantasy spin onto this too. If you're hoping McCaffrey is going to be scoring a lot of touchdowns, you may be disappointed. I could definitely see C.J. Anderson kind of vulturing some of those scores from McCaffrey. So it's really going to be interesting to see what the balance is going to be between the two of them. And then, you know, Cameron Artis Payne's going to get sprinkled in there a little bit just because, you know, he's been hanging around for a while. But, yeah, you know, expect to see, I think, a pretty decent bit of C.J. Anderson.
Now, the Panthers used their top pick on wide receiver, and DJ Moore was the first wide receiver taken in draft, taking a couple spots ahead of Calvin Ridley, the Falcons' number one pick. And obviously, because the two division rivals or two wide receivers drafted around the same area, there is going to be some compare and contrast between these two guys and their development. And, you know, if one plays well and the other one doesn't, then people will be like, oh, they should have taken that, you know. But I'm curious sort of your expectations on DJ Moore and what his impact is going to be this year. You already mentioned that you expect Funches to be sort of the de facto number one guy. I'm curious sort of, is Moore going to be more of that Ted Ginn to Funches' Kelvin Benjamin, or are the Panthers going to expect him to, you know, probably long-term certainly be that number one guy, but try to be that number one guy, you know, by at some point in his rookie season?
Yeah, I think you could definitely tell that the team is really high on Moore. They were kind of gleaming over him in the post-draft press conference, or at least after they made the selection. You know, one of the things they mentioned was his yards after catch ability, and that kind of swung the needle more in his favor, because you have to figure Calvin Ridley was absolutely in the mix, but I think they were just kind of enamored with DJ Moore's playmaking ability. You know, like I said, he seems like he's one of those guys that can just kind of be all over the field, so it wouldn't surprise me if he kind of becomes the number one at some point. You know, it could happen this year, and I think definitely as we progress, you know, into year two and definitely into year three, he's kind of going to be the guy. You know, I don't know if I'm going to sit here, you know, and I'm not great with player comparisons yet. You know, I can't sit here and say like, oh yeah, you know, they're right, he's the next Steve Smith. Like, you know, I hear the comparisons, absolutely, but I'm not really in a position here to say, yeah, he's going to be the next Steve Smith, or he's this guy, or he's that guy. Like, right now, he's DJ Moore. And he is going to come in, and I think he's going to make a pretty decent impact. And, you know, he's definitely going to help move the ball, help the team move the ball a lot better. You know, not that they struggled moving the ball last year, but I think he just kind of will give them that little extra oomph that they haven't really had in the past couple of years.
Well, since I have Bill here, might as well go ahead and plug Locked On Panthers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find all the insights, get Bill's thoughts on everything going on with the Carolina Panthers, your team every day. I want to wrap things up a little bit by talking about the defense. I mentioned at the top that I don't know if they did a whole lot to really move the needle. I think signing Dontari Poe was a big move for them. You know, I think, you know, adding him to the mix already with Kwon Short in the middle, I think that's an upgrade over Star Latulele. Obviously, Thomas Davis dealing with the suspension at the beginning of the year. They still do have Shaq Thompson. They're sort of revamping their secondary a little bit, but we know with sort of the type of defense that the Panthers play, you know, they like to throw a lot of blitz out there. I'm curious sort of what expectations you have for the defense. Is it still looking, you know, expectation they'll be a top five unit, but are there any sort of schematic changes? Are there any changes that we should be on the lookout this year and sort of could influence just how good this unit is overall?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a little bit of continuity with the defense, you know, with Ed Washington moving up from defensive line coach to defensive coordinator now that Steve Wilks is the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. So there's still going to be a little bit of familiarity there. You know, I would expect, you know, my guess is you're probably going to still see a little bit of the same that you kind of saw under Wilks. But, you know, impact-wise, yeah, you know, it's essentially the same defense, especially in the front seven. You know, like you said, the only major change was Dontari Poe is now on the inside over Starla Tulele. And you can argue that Poe is an upgrade over Lotulele. And they're really, you know, it's not like there was really much of a chance that Star was going to re-sign with the Panthers anyway. You've already given big money to Kawan Short. You're not really going to break the bank for two defensive tackles. So off to Buffalo he goes. Linebacker-wise, as I've said in the past, and I think I mentioned this on your other podcast too, expect to see a lot of nickel situations in the first four games with the Thomas Davis suspension. I think you're mostly just going to see Luke Kuechly and Shaq Thompson on the field for most of the downs. You know, so expect to see someone like Captain Munnerlyn or, you know, whatever the case may be, maybe Dante Jackson, Denoris Searcy, whoever it ends up being as kind of that fifth defensive back. But I think you're going to start to see Shaq Thompson. I think this is kind of going to be like Shaq Thompson's coming out party. You know, you feel the break. He's kind of broke out a little bit, and I think it's really starting to build, and I think this could be the year that it really takes off. You know, he really starts to become one of the leaders of this defense. Now, you know, Thomas Davis will still be around in the locker room, and you know, when he comes back from suspension, and now he's saying he might come back to play in 2019, but it kind of feels too like Davis is also ready to kind of hand the torch off to either Kuechly or Thompson. And we also talked too about all the concussions that Luke Kuechly has acquired over the years, you know, and he's possibly in a position where one more good shot could really affect his future, not just with the Panthers, but possibly playing football, you know, his career in the NFL, if he suffers one more severe enough concussion. So, you know, that's always something to kind of keep stored in the back of your mind. And then you look at the secondary, you know, James Bradbury coming off a good second season. He'll be manning one of the corners. It's a bit of a battle for the other cornerback position. You know, Kevon Seymour, Ross Cockrell, Dante Jackson seem like they're all three of them are going to get looks at the other outside corner. I think Seymour feels like the favorite right now, or at least he'll be in the lead when we get to training camp. But I think all three are definitely in the mix. And then, you know, safety wise, you've got 37-year-old Mike Adams still. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? A 37-year-old safety, and he's one of the better safeties, really. You know, it's not like he's elite, but he gets the job done. And then you're probably looking at maybe Colin Jones or Denoris Searcy kind of battling for that other secondary job. So I think you're going to see a little bit of an improvement from the secondary, especially at the cornerback position, because Darryl Worley was pretty disappointing last year. So I think the competition between those three guys is really going to help create better production opposite Bradbury. And I think over, especially in this kind of division, when, you know, as you're well aware, you know, facing the Falcons twice here, you got to deal with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. You know, you look at the Saints and all their receivers, the Buccaneers and Mike Evans, you know, so there's a lot of challenges just within this division. So you have to hope that one of these three really kind of takes the reins and gives Panthers fans that confidence that they can hang, you know, with essentially these big boys here in the NFC South.
Yeah. It'll be interesting sort of to see, because like the Panthers in their secondary has like this weird mix of a lot of youth and a lot of really old guys.
They do, yeah. There's like really no in between.
Yeah.
Even Denoris Searcy is like 29. Colin Jones, I think, is 30.
Yeah, we'll see how it balances out for them. And, you know, I still think the defense is still going to be pretty good. You know, whether or not, I guess, being on your third defensive coordinator in 3 years, how much an effect that has, we'll have to see. But I do think from a personnel standpoint, just because of the continuity, as you mentioned, and the focus on their front seven, they'll still be good. It's just a question of how good. Yeah, I think, you know, most of the questions do seem to center around the offense. You have several questions. Basically, I guess, is the offensive line going to hold up, I guess? Are you going to have another one of these wide receivers, whether it's DJ Moore, whether it's Torrey Smith, whether it's Curtis Samuel, is somebody, or even Christian McCaffrey, is someone going to step up and basically become Cam's second option to Greg Olsen? And if those things happen, I do think the offense certainly should benefit under Norv Turner's guidance. And we'll see sort of whether or not the Panthers can get back into the playoff hunt. You know, obviously I'm a little biased here. I think the Falcons and Saints are still a little bit ahead of those teams. I'm not as convinced that the NFC South will have three playoff teams this year as it set up last year. But I certainly think the Panthers are not a team that you can just sort of dismiss by any means, and will certainly, as long as Cam Newton is healthy, they will certainly be competitive and in the competition for a playoff spot.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, and I think I kind of agree with you that I don't think this division's going to have three playoff teams again. You know, like we talked before, the NFC has just become so good. You know, it used to be, like in the 2000s, it was all about the AFC, and you can kind of just crown the AFC champs. Well, it's swung back to the NFC. I mean, you've got Philly, you've got the Vikings, you've got the Rams. The Packers are going to get better with Aaron Rodgers healthy. You know, Seattle's always in the mix just because of Russell Wilson. San Francisco is a team on the rise. Dallas is always a team to watch out for. Detroit. You know, so there's a lot of competition I think it's going to be, you know, especially with the divisions kind of beating each other up, it's really going to make things difficult for this division to see three playoff teams again.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I look forward to talking with you when we get to September, when the Falcons and Panthers square off for whatever that week two, week three. I still haven't figured out what game that is.
Week two. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll by the time we get to September 1st, I might have committed it to memory. yeah, I look forward to talking with you again. Hopefully this sort of gives my listeners a primer, and also, you know, for your listeners, things that they've been talking about all off season long, and sort of putting the perspective on what are the big questions, at least from a Falcon fan's perspective, with this Panthers team from an outsider perspective. So I appreciate you coming on, and let my listeners know where they can find your stuff at, you know, obviously Locked On Panthers, as well as elsewhere on the internet.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, you follow me on Twitter at @Bill_Rossetti, RICCETTE. Locked On Panthers, Panthers Wire, Bengals Wire, and, you know, wherever, you know, hopefully always looking around for other things to play around with and work on. So just follow me and kind of see where I go, I guess.
Okay. Well, Bill, I appreciate it. And certainly, as I said, we'll be talking in about, 8 weeks or so? Something like that? I don't know. Can't do math.
Amazing.
Yeah, so, no, not 8 weeks. I can't do math. I'm sorry. I'm butchering it. It doesn't matter. September, let's say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, appreciate it, Bill, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely, Aaron. Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Okay, guys. One NFC South team down. We got two more to go. Those should be coming up very shortly. I appreciate Bill for joining me. And if you have additional thoughts, I mean, I guess where are my thoughts? I think the Panthers will be, you know, in that 7 to 9 win range this year. I guess if I was, you know, I don't know what their over under win total is, but that feels, they sort of feel like a 9-17 to me. I think there's a lot of potential for their offense to be much better than people think, but I also think there's a lot of potential for their offense to be very up and down as well. I feel like this Norv Turner, Cam Newton marriage is going to take more than like 6 weeks for it to click. Maybe at least, you know, an entire season, if not two entire seasons for it to really start to click together. So I'm not necessarily expecting the huge gains offensively for them this season that, you know, I'm sure many a Panther fans are expecting. But those are my expectations. What are your thoughts on the Panthers this upcoming season? Of course, you can provide that feedback and much, much more. I'm at Twitter at FalcFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. If it is podcast related, just go ahead, send it over to Locked On Falcons. What your feedback is on the Panthers 2018 outlook, just send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. If you prefer Facebook, Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. If you like email, lockedonfalcons@mail.com is the way to hit me up there. And of course, if you surf us at lockedonfalcons.com or falcons.com, that's where the show is posted daily. You can leave a comment on those websites as well. So, all right, guys, appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll be back with more NFC South talk, as well as continuing our series with the Falcons training camp previews, positional previews, and more in the coming days and weeks. So until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.